And all God's people said, amen. You know, it's because of Jesus Christ that we're here. I love the whole theme of grace because there's nothing we could do to earn the salvation of our souls and the redemption of our lives here and now. I had someone ask me a couple of months ago, well, what do I need to do to get to the point where I can get His grace? What do I need to do? I said, absolutely nothing. It has nothing to do with what you can do. Well, what do I need to do to be righteous? Don't I have to keep it going? I said, absolutely not, because we are given His righteousness because we didn't have any of our own. So it's all about Jesus. That's what it's about, and I hope that you've come here this morning ready to hear, ready to worship Him. Last night I was sitting in my Zeebo with some ministry leaders and having a great time discussing ministry and what God is doing here. And lo and behold, I heard something yesterday in my neighborhood I've never heard before. And it was this. There was a team of youth just down the street, and they were singing, "Great is our God." And I thought, it filled the neighborhood. And in my neighborhood, you can hear everything that happens. That's what I've been told. Debbie Zimmerman lives down the street a couple of years ago. She said, "Do you realize you can hear what's happening in your house?" I thought, that's scary. But the good news is last night Jesus Christ was proclaimed and the neighborhood heard it, and I'm hoping that this neighborhood heard it today. So we're not finished yet. So you're going to have more opportunity just to fill not just this place but this neighborhood, because this neighborhood needs to know about redemption. So with that in mind, visitors or guests, I want to just thank you for coming. In the back of your chair, there's this visitor information card. If you'd be sure and fill that out, we'd really appreciate it. I'd say put it in the offering plate, but that's already been received. So there's a visitor information table there in the back just before you exit this morning to go get food. Just give that to the person who is standing there. And we have a guest also. In fact, Sandy, why don't you stand up? Everybody say hi, Sandy. So you can give it to her, that would be great. One very, very important thing for us as a body, as kids, we love babies. And we have a whole bunch that are being born. I'm really excited about that. And then to watch them grow up. And it's a privilege having been here for 18 years and seeing those that were little bitty guys when I came. And now they're grown up, all grown up, And it's because we take very seriously the idea and the responsibility to mentor our children here in the ways of God, in the Word of God. So this morning, though, we want to dedicate those who have given so much time and so much effort to that calling upon their life and fulfilling the great commission of this church, of Christ to this church. So if those who are involved in children's ministries, if you would stand up. All right, there's a whole bunch of you, I know that. We're going to start calling you out. So there's a whole team of people that go from the front all the way to the back. And I want to say personally thank you, because you helped disciple my children. They listened to you when they wouldn't listen to me or Kim. So thank you that we're able to share the same message of the power and the gospel and the truth of God. So I just want to pray for you, all right? Father, thank you for the gift of these people who have taken on the role and the challenge of raising children. And Lord, anywhere from hearing their hard questions like, why can't I see Jesus, to why do these things happen, to the crazy things of, would you pray for my family because mom and dad aren't getting along right now? We've even heard that. And Lord, we thank you for these folks who are so dedicated to this calling and this cause. Lord, all the way from Disciple Land and Nursery to Awana, Lord, to you be glory to these folks as their words, their hearts, their examples. And we commit them to you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you all very much. And I want to also dismiss the children, first through fifth grade at this time. So you can follow Mrs. Weller. She is married. Well, today is a really exciting day. We get to baptize 10 or 11 people, something like that. I lost count. So this is going to be a very abbreviated message on baptism. I've been told I have 15 minutes. And some of you I had crying uncle last week, so you'll really... Yeah, last week it was a long one, I tell you. Got telling stories, so, and we won't go there this morning. But, you know, it's important to understand and to be able to answer the question, why baptism? You know, many people in our culture, even in the church, ask the question, why should I bother? You know, I'm saved by grace through faith and it's Christ's righteousness. And, you know, why do I need to go through an extra step of actually coming up in front of people and, you know, getting in this case, a trough of water? We're simple folks here. We're nothing fancy, except we did put a curtain on it. Hey, you know what? We do have some class. You know, why should we even bother? You know, why do I have to bother with that? The man, the thief on the cross wasn't baptized. And, you know, what's the purpose? What's the purpose? You know, we tend to be a questioning culture, sometimes even a cynical culture. And my first answer to that question is because it was commanded by Jesus. He said so. We don't like it. We take it up with Him. But He told the disciples before He left, as He was getting ready, He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He told us to. He told us to. And you see this practiced in the very, very early stages of the church. When Peter was saying, you know what? To the people at Pentecost, this is what's happening. And so this was practiced by the early church. And it was practiced, and it was continued to be practiced throughout the 2,000 plus years of church history. Why? Because it brings clarity. It's not just a matter of obedience, but it's a matter of clarity. Baptism paints a physical picture. A physical picture, a reenactment of a spiritual experience that has already taken place that Jesus calls born again. The theologians call conversion. A dynamic and exciting, a vibrant, a life-giving process where we are taken from death to life, from in an enemy of God to being made alive in Christ, from being dead in our sins to being alive in Christ, where baptism pictures that in an incredible way. In an incredible way, it brings a lot of clarity. It brings clarity in my understanding of my identity with Jesus Christ. Clarity in my understanding of my identity with Jesus Christ. And that is this. A mean starts out by meaning this. I believe that what Jesus said was true, and that is I'm a sinner. That I'm a sinner. If you don't like that, take it up with Jesus. He's the one who taught it. He's the one who told us that. And that is that I have rebelled against a high and holy God who is my Creator, whom created me for fellowship with Him, but in my own rebellious heart, I not only turned against Him in my actions, but that rebellion settled into the core of my soul. And that means I sin I sin because I'm a sinner in my nature. So, well, the question is if I don't sin, is somehow I'm able to unction up enough power and willpower in my own spirit to not have actions of sin? I've gone through a day without lying, adult through a day without gossiping. Does that mean that during that period of time I'm no longer a sinner? Absolutely not, because in our core of our being, we have what's called the sin nature. We sin because of that sin nature. We are rebel in our actions because of that rebellious nature. And it's at the core of my being. And because I'm a sinner, I'm under the righteous judgment of a righteous and holy God. And there's only one person who can get me out of this crazy, stinking mess. And His name is Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can get me out of this mess. He's, you know, I can't be good enough. I can't have my own righteousness to earn His righteousness. He gives it to me at the very beginning. And it's because of Him, according to Ephesians 1, that I am declared holy and blameless in His sight. Amen? Amen. That's what it's all about. That's the bottom line. I am declared holy and blameless in Christ, not holy and blameless because I happened to get lucky on one day and I went an hour without sinning. It doesn't matter our intentions, it doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. The only thing that matters is Jesus Christ. And when we get this, when we understand this, that there's nothing we can do to get this righteousness, something happens within us. And it's what happened to the people who first heard this message in Acts 2. When the people heard this message that Peter was telling, they were cut to the heart. I love that phrase. They were cut to the heart. They were saying, we get it, not just up here, but I get it right here. I am doomed without this. I am doomed without Jesus Christ. And they, with one voice, rose up and said to Peter, what shall we do? And Peter says, try harder and be good. No, Peter didn't say that. Well, you got to meet this minimum standard. No, Peter didn't say that. Peter said these two words, more words than that. Repent and be baptized in Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. Repent and be baptized. And when we repent of our sins, a whole new reality takes place in not just in our mind and in our heart, but in our souls. And we are taken from being dead in our trespasses and sin in Ephesians 2 to being made alive in Christ. And it's very important. We are being made alive. We are not making ourselves alive in Christ. He is doing it. And praise God for that, because I could not sustain enough effort to change me. We are being made alive. And baptism is an incredible picture of this reality. And as we go through this process physically, we proclaim not only to ourselves but to all of those around the spiritual reality that has happened. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, we read this, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. What's he talking about that there? He's talking about this, that when I am baptized with, like this morning, when I go beneath the water, I am going beneath the water with Christ. I am identifying with Him. I am passing through the waters of judgment, God's judgment upon my sin, but I'm doing it with Christ. And He is the one who is taking the brunt. He is the one who is taking all of my judgment. But that's okay, because I'm with Him. He is the one who is being judged on my behalf. We are being buried with Christ in baptism, with Him. Don't forget that, with Him. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by His glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives with Him. It's because of Him. And that's what baptism pictures. I go down as a picture of that. I'm a sinner. And I'm with Christ. And He has taken on that judgment. And we are being raised again to newness of life. That's what that pictures. A reality that has already taken place and it's being proclaimed before everyone. And that's my identity. It's all about Jesus. I'm with Him. There are times when I question that. There are times when people will question that. There are times when I'm tempted to avoid that, ignore that. But that's a reminder to me. Say, you know what? I'm with Him. I'm with Him. That's the key. So it clarifies my understanding of my identity with Christ. It clarifies, it brings clarity in my understanding of my surrender to Jesus Christ. Jesus went on to say in Matthew 28, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Very important word and phrase. Means literally in the Greek, into the name. It means you're declaring your allegiance. You're declaring your allegiance to His authority in your life. It's like Thomas did when he proclaimed in John 20, my Lord and my God. That's what you're proclaiming. You're identifying with Him in His death, burial, and resurrection. You're being raised into newness of life, and you're proclaiming to yourself and to all people that He is my Lord and my God, and I am aligned with Him. I'm aligned with Him. You're telling everybody else, and the reason why this is public and not private is because it's not just about you, But it's about doing this and proclaiming it to everyone else with around, saying, I'm with Jesus Christ. I'm under His authority. I'm under His authority. For the early church, the day of one's baptism was a line in the sand. It was a line in the sand. It was where you declared to all people, you know what, I'm with Christ. It also served as a mile marker in your life. A mile marker that you look back upon for the rest of your life and say, you know what? I don't have to decide whether or not I'm going to follow Christ today. I've already made that decision. I'm looking back to that day of my baptism and I said, you know what? I don't need to make that decision today. I just need to acknowledge the decision I've already made. It's a declaration that carries on throughout the rest of your life. It was very important for the first three centuries of the church to always remind those who are starting to waver of the day of their baptism, because the decision had already been made and their intention had already been declared. I don't have to make that decision today. I just need to acknowledge that the decision has already been made. So it clarifies understanding of my surrender to Jesus Christ. It also brings clarity in my understanding of my life is in community. I'm now a part of the community of Jesus Christ. I'm not now a part of the community of Jesus Christ. I'm part of the family. I'm part of the body. All these images, these metaphors that Scripture talks about. I'm part of a community of like-minded people who share and participate in a called out of this world and called together in community. I've got a new purpose. I've got a new family. I've got a new body. I've got a new hope. I've got a new future. That was Peter's message to the people in 1 Peter. He says, you are now a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people who belong to God, so that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, that's when we were in darkness. That's when we were dead. But now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So we are baptized into a community of faith that Christ calls the church that we've been talking about. But it also brings clarity in our understanding of the responsibility of the church towards new believers. So as the community of faith watches these believers this morning be baptized, it's a reminder to us that, you know, we have a responsibility to them, because Jesus told the disciples, teach them everything that I have taught you. That's our responsibility. So when the youngest to the oldest comes up here this morning, we are affirming by participating in this time that, you know what, I have a responsibility to these folks to live out the meaning and the reality of Jesus Christ in my life and to share with them the teachings of Jesus Christ. We have a mentoring relationship with them. And we help them live out this new reality in community. That's exciting. Because this is not just something that people do on their own. This is not something that we just sit up here and watch and say, wasn't that great? Let's go get some burgers. This is something that we say, you know what? I've got a role. I've got a responsibility here. And I want to teach, I want to have a role and responsibility as being a part of this church to raise them up and to teach them the ways of Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, all right, so we'll just dive right in here. We will dive right in here.